Seth Leibson, Chris Buskirk. It's principles and politics. The Seth and Chris Show is on now.
Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I am Seth Leibson. He is Chris Buskirk. As promised, Scott Johnson from the Powerline blog is joining us. He has, well, first of all, everything he writes is worth reading. He is an elegant writer and has his finger on a great cultural and political pulse. But he almost alone, or at least at first, has had his eye on Keith Ellison, congressman from Minnesota, who looks to be the favored and certainly at this point front runner to be the next chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And I have to tell you, with all the attention the media has poured on the worrisome, or to them worrisome, aspects of Steve Bannon's background, which I believe the mountains have rumbled and produced a mouse, very little evidence, there has been no focus on the background of Keith Ellison. No one better to talk about this, no one more who knows it than Scott Johnson. Scott, welcome back.
Hi, Seth. Thanks for having me. It's my 10th year on the Ellison case.
I was going to say, it seems like you've been at this for two decades, but it's been a good decade anyway, isn't it?
I've been beating my head against the wall for at least 10 years. And in this case, it's to help the Democratic Party. But I think I'm going to have as little success on this score as I did trying to help the Democrats in the 5th District in Minneapolis here.
Well, maybe you can help the mainstream media, because I was just astounded. My partner here, my co-host Chris, is doing interviews with some other radio stations over the Bannon stuff. And one of the things he said was, call me when you're ready to do an interview on Huma Abedin or Keith Ellison. And I said, yeah, we got to do this Keith Ellison situation. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners, Scott, if you don't mind, what you know about Keith Ellison, what Keith Ellison has lied about, and what the media is covering up.
Seth, I had never really gotten to know Ellison at all before he was endorsed as the Democratic nominee for the congressional seat that includes Minneapolis in the year 2006. And that was at a DFL, as they call the Democratic Party out here, the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, district convention, the 5th District Convention in May of 2006. And shortly after that, a political reporter out here pointed out to me a couple things that had become public, that Ellison had written under a pseudonym when he was a law student at the University of Minnesota in 1998, and said I should really take a look at those, and I did, and I wrote about them briefly, and I just noted, I thought it was interesting, this guy who had just been not endorsed by the Democratic Party to be the successor, you know, in a Democratic district, he was going to be the Democratic congressman, as a third-year law student at the University of Minnesota, was clearly an advocate of Louis Farrakhan, writing under a pseudonym, Keith Hakim, which Ellison had admitted by that time was him. And he wrote two articles under that name, and they were telling the Nation of Islam crazy, crazy cult-type stuff that was published in the University of Minnesota Daily. And I just wrote about it briefly on Powerline. And after I did, I got a call from out of the blue from somebody who said, I was working downtown Minneapolis at the time, who said, would you like my clip file on Ellison?
Huh.
And I said, yeah, that sounds great. This is a guy who'd been following Ellison's public career over the previous 10-plus years. And he said, meet me at the corner of 9th and Nicollet in the heart of downtown Minneapolis. So it was kind of like a Woodward Bernstein kind of a deal. So he hands off his file to me. And in this clip file, it's just a collection of newspaper articles about Ellison going back over the years that he'd been a public figure since he'd been a law student at the University of Minnesota, making his way in private practice in Minneapolis. But it documented his many activities on behalf of the Nation of Islam in these articles. Some of them were from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Some of them were from a local black newspaper, Insight News. Those were basically most of the articles. But they documented over a long period of years his activities as a self-identified local leader of the Nation of Islam under aliases that included Keith X. Ellison. Mm-hmm. He'd written some articles under that name. And then in 1998, when he first ran for the DFL endorsement for a state legislative position, he was running under the name Keith Ellison-Muhammad. And the interviewer for the local black newspaper said, "Do you think it's going to be a problem that you're a member of the Nation of Islam?" And he said, "No, I don't think people will hold that against me." And so I started writing a series of posts on Powerline called "Who is Keith Ellison?" And it ran to about 20. Over that summer, there was a competitive DFL primary after he'd been the endorsed candidate. That September, there was going to be a four-way primary. And his opponents in his primary were serious Democrats, a couple of state legislators, if I remember correctly. They were formidable opponents. And there were prominent Democrats in the 5th District, the Minneapolis area, who did not want Keith Ellison to be the face of the Democratic Party. I started getting additional calls from them. Some of them were former law classmates of his from the University of Minnesota, who recalled that he had facilitated bringing in Stokely Carmichael, then going under the name Kwame Ture, mm-hmm. to give an anti-Semitic stem winder at the heart of the University of Minnesota Law School. His Jewish classmates had met with Ellison personally and begged him not to support bringing in this Kwame Ture to do what he ended up doing. And for example, and so I started writing about all this stuff. Ellison has done much more and worse, and I documented and recounted all of it in a Weekly Standard article, knowing he was going to be elected in October 2006. He was going to be the first Muslim congressman. And this article, which itemizes many of his activities on behalf of the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan, is called "Louis Farrakhan's First Congressman." Mm-hmm. I believe at the time, Ellison denied that he was ever a member of the Nation of Islam. He said he'd been active with them for a period of 18 months around the time of the Million Man March. But that is just a complete, in a letter that he wrote to the Jewish Community Relations Council while this contest for the primary was in progress, he felt like he needed to mend fences with the Jewish community out here. So he wrote this blatantly false letter. All of this stuff, the copies of articles and his letter to the Jewish Community Relations Council, I posted on the same day that my article was published in the Weekly Standard in 2006, and my Powerline post with the documents in it is called Keith Ellison for Dummies. And it's got all this stuff. The devil is in the details, and I would just encourage anyone who's interested to look up that Weekly Standard article and then this Powerline post. And then I revisited this subject, Ellison and his checkered past, when he published a memoir in 2014 called My Country, Tis of Thee, in which he tries to present himself as kind of a mainstream Democrat trying to clean himself up for a national audience. He's clearly had in mind running for higher office, like this Democratic Party chairmanship that he's throwing his hat in the ring for now. And in the book, he completely whitewashes his past. He comes forward as a critic of the Nation of Islam for its anti-Semitism and racism without ever acknowledging that he himself had been an active member and proponent of the views that he purports to condemn in the book. So I wrote a piece for the Weekly Standard that's full of the stuff that's in and out of his memoir, My Country, Tis of Thee. And that article in the Weekly Standard that was published in 2014 is called The Ellison Elision. Elision being a fancy word for
cover up. Yeah, omissions, whitewashes, cover ups. Yes. No, yeah, I want people to go back. It's all very easy to find at your site, Scott, powerlineblog.com. You've done a masterful job, especially the piece Ellison for Dummies. And I just want to just repeat and summarize what you said. And can you stay one more segment, by the way?
Sure.
Okay, great, because we're going into a break. First of all, Scott, thanks for joining us. Second of all, thank you for doing the yeoman's heavy lifting here that the mainstream media has not. He has written under the name Keith X. Ellison. He has written under the name Keith Ellison Muhammad. He has covered up, folks, his past with the Nation of Islam. He has lied about his tenure with the Nation of Islam. And, you know, for the mainstream media that loves to quote the Southern Poverty Law Center, for people who have forgotten or don't know much about the Nation of Islam, let me do their work for them and just quote from the Southern Poverty Law Center's chapter on the Nation of Islam. Quote, bizarre theology of black superiority over whites with a deeply racist, anti-Semitic, anti-gay rhetoric prominent amongst its leaders, including top minister Louis Farrakhan. It deserves a prominent position in the ranks of organized hate. I actually don't think that says it strongly enough. But when we come back with Scott Johnson from Powerline, I want to talk a little bit about where you, Scott, think the Democratic Party is going with this mess of pottage by propelling him upwards to the Democratic National Committee. I think it says a lot about the party. I think it says a lot about our country that's willing to, as you say, elide it. I'm Seth Leibson. He's Chris Buskirk. Scott Johnson will be right back with us. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I am Seth Leibson. He is Chris Buskirk. We are privileged and delighted to have staying with us Scott Johnson, co-founder, co-publisher, the Powerline blog, doing the work the mainstream media won't do, and maybe even the Democratic Party won't do for itself. That's another open question. Scott Johnson has been on the beat of trying to understand and get the rest of the country to understand who this Keith Ellison is. He is a member of Congress representing Minnesota who is now the front runner to take over the Democratic National Committee, to become the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Yesterday, he was hobnobbing with George Soros at a billionaire Marxist confab in Washington, D.C., at probably the most expensive hotel, the Mandarin Oriental, that is there. Scott, on the break, you and I were just talking offline a little bit that when you started digging into this Ellison biography and the connections to the Nation of Islam, more than connections, the embrace and membership in the Nation of Islam, you originally were doing it because you actually just wanted the Democratic Party to nominate a decent guy.
I think that he had two formidable opponents in 2006 in the primary that was held that September, the Democratic primary. One was a guy named Mike Erlandson, who had been the chief of staff to the 22-term incumbent congressman or 17-term incumbent congressman Martin Szabo. Mike Erlandson was a serious moderate Democrat, kind of in the Martin Szabo tradition, kind of a labor, slash socialist type Minneapolis Democrat, and a woman whose name is escaping me at the moment that we all liked, just a very reasonable, old-fashioned type liberal Democrat, and Keith Ellison. Well, Keith had the endorsement of the 5th District Convention, which went a long way in a four-way Democratic primary. And I kept writing about him that summer, and I kept getting calls from Democratic friends who had dealt with Ellison and who had information to share with me about him that I would post on Powerline in the series that I called "Who Is Keith Ellison?" Because he is a man with I call it a secret history. Facetiously, it's all out there if you do a little digging. But he won the Democratic primary that September 2006 with 42% of the vote in a four-way primary. And Seth, when you say doing the work that the mainstream media won't do, in Minneapolis, the mainstream media is the Star Tribune. They're kind of like the equivalent of the New York Times on the national scene. And the person who called me after I had written briefly about Ellison on Powerline, who had a clip file on him, called me because of his frustration with the refusal of the Star Tribune. Now that Ellison was the endorsed Democratic congressman for this seat that was in the middle of a competitive DFL primary, his frustration that they wouldn't even go into their own archives to talk about a past that would be of concern to many 5th District voters, which includes a substantial Jewish population. They just refused to do it. And so whenever I talk about Ellison, I always call it the secret history of Keith Ellison, because it's not covered in what you're referring to as the mainstream media out here. It's kind of left to folks like me who are doing it on our own and a friendly magazine like the Weekly Standard.
Scott, it's Chris. As you tell the story, the backstory, I guess, really, the secret history of Keith Ellison, these ties to the Nation of Islam. I've done some research preparing for this conversation. You know, Frank Gaffney talks about some other really disturbing ties that Keith Ellison has with, you know, CARE and other Hamas front groups. Let's also talk about the things he's doing right out in the open as chairman of the Progressive Caucus, which is the hardest of hard left groups in the House of Representatives. And then he comes sort of out of nowhere and becomes a congressman, wins a four-way race, and rises up the ranks of the Democratic Party very, very quickly. Obviously, somebody who is very much favored by the wing of the party that I think is ascendant, which is the Sanders Warren wing. Elizabeth Warren has endorsed him for the chairmanship of the DNC. Boy, this story sure sounds a lot like somebody else I know who wound up becoming president.
Right.
Do you see that at all?
I wrote a long post about this that I republished on Powerline just in the past week. In 2008, I think I wrote a post called "From Ellison to Obama," and there are so many elements of the story that Ellison is kind of a precursor of Obama, including Obama's desire to keep his distance from Ellison because it was kind of like the dog that didn't bark. It says so much about where Obama is coming from. But I think to answer your question, the answer is yes. They share so much in common, and they share a lot of elements of their story that resemble each other. The first thing that leaped out at me at the time was that in reading an account of that 5th District Convention, Ellison made the case really that he was the leftward most viable candidate. He was kind of like the summa of identity politics, black and Muslim, in this super liberal district. And what a shiver of a thrill it would send down somebody's pants leg to nominate a Muslim in the relatively immediate aftermath of 9/11. So that's what Ellison has had going for him, and it's one of the things that has insulated him from I would say investigation in the mainstream media. So it's a very powerful card to play. He plays it to the hilt in his memoir, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," and I do think that he was a precursor to Obama and that they share a lot in common.
And maybe a postscript, too. I mean, he's obviously a man on the move. It's I've speculated a bit over the past couple weeks about where the Democrat Party is headed. The Obamas and the Clintons basically decimated a rising generation of Democrats in the wipeouts of 2010 and 2008. And 14, but here's Keith Ellison, 53 years old, from a very, very safe district in Minnesota, maybe one of the only or most viable remaining members of the Warren Sanders wing of the party that's the right age to continue, to ascend a national stage, you know, in 4 years. Am I all wet there? Do you think that might have some legs
when
to it?
I wrote that piece about Ellison's memoir for the Weekly Standard 2 years ago, and I concluded his memoir begins with his attendance at Obama's inauguration in the year 2008. And I say in that piece, I conclude that piece by saying that Obama seems to have inspired a certain kind of audacity and hope on Ellison's part. And in the book, he's clearly trying to clean himself up to bring his act national. He wrote the book with a consultant whose expertise is bringing minority acts mainstream, and I think that's exactly what he's got in mind. I find it hard to believe that that's what's going to happen, but he's made a good run of it so far.
Scott, I want to thank you for your work on this. Just as a postscript to what you and Chris were saying, there's a piece at the Daily Beast today written by Majid Nawaz, which I would urge people to also look at, the title of which, "Keith Ellison is a Muslim and the Man to Lead the Democrats into the Future." Majid Nawaz doesn't even live in the United States, folks. He lives in Great Britain. So Keith Ellison, small origins up through the Nation of Islam, congressman out of Minnesota, the future of the Democratic Party. Not just according to the wise ones here, but all the way from across the Atlantic. Scott Johnson, thanks, and stay on it, brother.
Thank Thanks for having me on, guys.
You betcha. We will talk to you soon. Folks, when we come back, we're going to address a very heartfelt and sincere letter from a mother. You're not going to want to miss it.